This is episode 7 of ATTO, your premier anime and television podcast. So, I'm Sven.
I'm Daisuke.
And this is HTO, your premier anime and television podcast. Sorry it's been a while since we've done an episode.
It seems like we're apologizing every single episode, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Life's life.
Exactly. So,
okay.
Let's get into what we got to say for this amazing episode of ours, episode 7.
We'll bring you the regulars, anime news, TV news, and our reviews.
Yes, speaking of reviews, I will be reviewing a new show on NBC. I know I've been doing a lot of NBC shows, but I love NBC. NBC has some great shit. I'll be doing the Black Donnellys, and Daisuke here will be doing
Man to Be Straight. Or Gakuen Utopia, Man to Be Straight, as it's officially known.
Exactly.
Then let's head over to news.
Before news, I have a little something.
Something.
We had a contest a couple of weeks ago, and like no one even tried. I mean, it wasn't even that hard, but like we'll give you the answer. Daisuke's name comes from the original Digimon in Japan, where the lead character was named Daisuke. In Japan, and then the North American one was named.
You never told me you were. We'll reveal it. And it's Daisuke from Digimon second season.
Was it second season?
Yes. His name in the North American one is known as Davis Motoyama. I don't really care. I don't Davis. Watch Digimon.
How does Daisuke go from Davis to Daisuke?
Because they don't think it'll sell. It's the whole Digimon Pokemon franchise.
I want to know.
Ash is not Ash.
What was he? Yeah, exactly. What was his name?
I can't remember. I remember. I think Misty.
Akira? Was his name Akira?
No, it was some Japanese name. But Misty was Misty, I think, and Brock was Brock, I believe. Right. So.
And I'm guessing Ash Ketchum is yeah, really a Japanese
that,
name of
that
all
sorts.
That's
a really bad thing. Like Ash Ketchum. Ketchum. Catch them all.
I gotta catch them all because my name's Ketchum. Ja.
That's really bad. I like that name, so yeah. It doesn't really have any affiliation with Digimon. But Digimon's a good series. I recommend it to anyone who is not really into anime, but just wants something to
I hear good things about Saber. I might actually start watching.
I don't like Sabers.
I might actually start watching Sabers.
Sabers?
It's like Digimon, only more mature.
This guy is like, what, 20, and he has
exactly.
An Agumon?
No. If you take a look, it's a badass Agumon. It's Agumon with like... longer
yeah.
claws and like
yeah he really
a
has
bracelet,
an Agumon
like,
has an attitude problem
exactly
but yeah we're off topic
we are yeah so people you know we're gonna give you free shit. I mean honestly it wasn't even that hard, so you missed out. We'll probably have another contest in a month or so.
Yay. No, Daisuke gets all the free stuff.
Yeah, exactly, whatever. So we'll head into anime news. Oh, actually, you want to do anime or TV?
Your choice. Because...
I don't have that much TV news, so I'll go first.
Go first? Okay. Yeah, I'm probably going to bore people with
Let
my...
Let me hit it off with... first things first. Great show. I'm sad. Why am I that sad? Because I've only seen a little bit of it. The Knights of Prosperities. It's ABC, and they are canceling it. Yeah, that's right. Knights of Prosperities have been canceled.
It was only supposed to be a filler show, wasn't it?
Technically, no. It had potential. I'll tell you that much. It had potential.
Okay.
But the viewers were like, what the fuck? And they gave up. So, like, yeah.
It's all about the ratings.
But personally speaking, I gotta tell you, ABC has, like, an issue with, like, keeping shows and keeping viewers for shows. I mean, Daybreak? Come on. The Nine?
Okay, what? ABC doesn't have that many people watching in the first place.
That's because NBC's getting all the viewers with their Grey's Anatomies and their Heroes and their Black Donovans.
Because they have better shows, I will say that. Even though I am not the TV critic, I will say they have better shows.
Yeah. Well, I mean, ABC's going to cover up their loss for Knights of Prosperities with rerun episodes of George Lopez and According to Jim, which...
George Lopez.
I mean, it's not bad, but I mean...
Well, I'd rather... comedies will never fail. Like, comedy sitcoms, they never fail, so...
Well, technically, I mean, Knights of Prosperity was a comedy.
Was it really?
Yeah.
You did touch upon it last episode.
There's this group of misfit thieves trying to rob Mick Jagger.
Yeah.
And then after that, it's so funny because they try to rob Mick Jagger, but like that plan like goes awry for some apparent reason, and
it has to go awry.
And then they say we have to rob someone else's rich, so let's rob Ray Romano. And you got Ray Romano. It's so funny.
Romano's not rich, is he? Really rich?
Dude, everyone loves Raymond. That made so much money.
It's not like it's not like all the money went to him.
True, true.
And your next line of item to talk about is...
Oh, yeah. American Idol. I know you guys probably don't watch. I watch because my sister watches, but they're giving back. They're having some sort of charity telethon April 25th.
A lot more new scandals this season.
Apparently, Simon and that other dude went to South Africa to go, you know...
Simon and...
Simon Cowell and, like, Aaron Seacrest. No, wait, Ryan Seacrest. Ouch.
Ryan Seacrest. Oh, him and Ryan Seacrest?
Yeah, it's so funny.
Oh, I thought it was the other judge.
They showed the video of that, and like they're basically giving back, saying, yeah, we got too much money, I have to give back now.
Well, it makes sense.
True, I guess. I mean, it is like the number one TV show in like all of ever.
American Idol? They're on their, what, 20th season now?
No, six, but they're getting a lot
six?
Of... Well, they're
no
getting,
way.
Yeah, six.
Well, I thought it was, like, longer than six.
No. Yeah, six. It's six.
Is it really?
It gets so sad that I can name all the winners. I mean, year. It's just horrible.
No.
Let's see. So they're going to have a telethon / like, give-a-thon where they just give money to people in, like, needy places. I know this kind of sucks, my telling of the news like this, but, I mean, I'm not that interested because I live in Canada and I can't donate if I wanted to, so whatever.
But you could go to the needy place and get some money.
I could. Or I could watch it on TV and, like, up their ratings. That's,
like, your best... That's the most charitable thing you've ever done.
By watching TV
and raising... Yo,
you have no idea how much money they get for us watching TV. They get a lots and lots of monies.
Yeah, okay.
Monies. So, and the telethon's going to feature a lot of famous people. Michael Bublé, Pink, some other people.
That's nice.
What else? Oh, yeah, Prison Break fans. I know you guys probably all know this, but I'll say it anyways because it happened a while ago. The actor from Prison Break, you know, Tweener, kid who got shot by that evil dude. He's been charged with manslaughter, or vehicular manslaughter, I think. Yeah, vehicular manslaughter. He basically was driving drunk, had some teenagers in the back, and one of them died.
How old is he? 20-something?
26.
26, yeah.
And these kids were like 15, 17. I mean, come on, seriously.
Wait, why was he driving kids around? Who are these kids?
I don't know. Just friends from like...
Sure, friends. Some 26-year-old driving some like minors... And all getting drunk, all going over to his apartment.
Actually, you know what? They had a detailed account of what he had to drink, which is so funny. They said before the 26-year-old actor was charged with a felony vehicular manslaughter, the night of the thing, he was driving his 2001 Land Rover, and he had some vodka something, or something vodka.
Something vodka is bad enough.
It's in here somewhere. I just can't freaking remember.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so basically he was driving with like a 0.2 instead of the 0.08, which is the limits, and he killed people. So, dude, you kill people, you go to jail. Plain and simple.
Well, he is a celebrity. Don't kill people. He is a celebrity.
Well, he's like a semi-celebrity. He wasn't even that great on that. Oh, here. He had several shots of Grey Goose vodka, which I have no idea what the fuck that is.
Because you're not a blatant alcoholic.
No, I'm not. No, I am not.
So, yeah. Wait, is he going to go to jail? Or?
Oh, yeah. He's not going to jail. He's been convicted.
Well, he deserves that.
But he kills someone. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Those kids are
pretty stupid to be riding with him in the first place.
You kill someone, you go to jail. It's that simple. All right. Other news. ABC has like a new Wednesday schedule. So basically, they got rid of the Knights of Prosperity. And like, since it's summerish, they're going to get like all these new shows that are coming in, pilots and shit like that. So yeah, look forward to all these new crazy ass pilots. Well, some good, some not good. I'll give some updates on it, but most of them will suck ass. Except for American Inventor, which I actually do like. American Inventor. It's the one with the talent show for inventors. It's pretty cool. I think that's about it. No, I think I might have a few more up my sleeve.
You better pull them out fast.
I will. I definitely will. It says here Wheel of Fortune is going to be going on for a couple more years, or decades or so.
Yes. I remember back when Vandalite was just like turning those thingy blocks around in separate freaky touchscreen things.
Yeah, well, that's... you know what? In the future, she's not going to have to touch them. She's got to think and, like, it will change.
In the future, they're going to have to preserve her. She's, like, 50.
And she's, like... she's
still doing... they're trying to make it easy and easier for her. She'll just have to think. And then, like, people will get, like, Vanna, are there E's? Let me think. And then E's will appear.
Well, anyways, the show is said to be continuing on until 2011-2012 season. It's been confirmed.
My god. That's what? 4 or 5 years from now?
So they'll be confirmed for another 4 or 5 years. That's funny. This show might end before the York subway comes into play.
24 seasons.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that sick?
24 seasons.
Okay.
It's lived long as TV has lived.
That's true. It's the first thing on TV. I think... yeah. Oh, yeah. Grey's Anatomy. People watch Grey's Anatomy. The actors are going to get heavy salary raises. All the doctors. Well, not all doctors, but most of the doctors.
Wait, so people should watch Grey's Anatomy just because their actors are getting paid more?
I'm telling you not to watch Grey's Anatomy because I don't like medical dramas.
You just said watch Grey's Anatomy.
Well, I said people who watch Grey's Anatomy, right? So, I mean, okay. If you watch Grey's Anatomy, those actors are going to be...
pay raises.
Signing new contracts so they get paid more. Oh, and people like to watch the L Word, that drama on lesbians.
That's interesting, yeah.
It's got a fifth season scheduled, so you guys can go ahead and check that out. Oh, and before I forget, we want your comments, feedback, all that good stuff. Email us at animetelevisiontoronto@gmail.com or visit the website and leave comments at animetelevisiontoronto.blogspot.com. Now I'm gonna hit it over here to Daisuke while he gives you some anime review
news.
Oh, my bad.
News. Please bear with me. I actually have been doing my homework and I've been looking up stuff.
Doing your homework, that's awesome.
Yeah, I do my homework. I'm a nerd.
Dude, that's horrible. You do your homework. That's awful.
Shut up. So, okay. Genion, Bandai deal. So, you have two big companies that are really major in bringing anime over. They're going to do a special deal where Genion does the licensing and Bandai America does the distributing. I don't know the details about it. I don't know who... or I don't know if any of you are, like, too into the whole... what's it called? Licensing company issues or like who's the CEO or anything. I'm getting all tongue-tied. But there's just a little deal between them. I'm guessing, might lower the prices of the DVDs here.
No.
I'm guessing.
It's probably just going to be like, we get more stuff.
Well, we get more stuff. Plus, it's easier for them to distribute if they don't do competition over that. So, Genion Bandai America.
I'm sorry, they don't do competition? Competition means less prices for us, dude. Business 101.
Well, it's true, but it should... Yeah, but people will complain. Because there's still a bunch of other companies. I think they're... In the short term, obviously they got lower prices. Maybe in the long term, when they killed off all the other competition, then they got raised. But if they want more people to buy, they have to lower prices. Because I'm not willing to pay 30, 40, 40 bucks for a DVD at this moment.
Oh, yeah.
Haruhi's. The Melancholy of Haruhi Suzumiya, if for, anyone's buying that, that's going to be expensive.
It's going to be the single most expensive.
No, it's not. It's, is it really?
Do you know any other ones that cost 60 bucks a volume?
But that's their special limited edition first volume edition.
Even so, well, okay.
Limited it, edition first volume.
It's about 70 bucks for the limited first edition. Then it's about like 59, no, so it's about 60 bucks
yeah,
for every...
but you get lots of goodies.
Which, even
if
so...
If you guys want to know about all the goodies and about the Melancholy of Haruhi Suzumiya...
We'll put in the show notes.
We might put in the show notes. I might be lazy. But go to www.asosbrigade.com.
Why might I do that right now?
There's a bunch of info about there, and Haruhi trying to use propaganda to get you to join her brigade. Also, they're doing a special limited preview at SakuraCon of... The Melancholy of Haruhi Suzumiya, and another show, Cutie Honey. So I think Haruhi might overshadow Cutie Honey, but if you're going to SakuraCon, be sure to go to the Haruhi booth, or the Cutie Honey one.
Ah, they're already at six. They're almost at a million. Those pugs.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of visitors at the ASOS Brigade site. Number two on the
Artedia.
List, a butler cafe opens in Japan in Akihabara.
No wonder.
Which is,
because you know,
it's not too out of place. Like, you have maid cafes, then you're going to have people complaining there should be butler cafes. Now, the butler cafe is not like a host club, if anyone's thinking that. It is not a host club. It's basically like a maid cafe, except you have butlers, and the butlers act like maids. They just serve and act all butler-ish. So, also, it seems you can't take pictures of maids at maid cafes.
Well,
which is...
Yeah, we have the first one in North America here in Toronto, which we did go see.
We did go see, and you guys saw pictures, right? In North America, it's okay. In Japan, though,
you're not supposed
it's kind
to take
of a taboo-ish thing to do, to take pictures of them.
So people
so
don't...
People
don't,
who go to Japan, go to a maid cafe, don't take out your cameras.
Exactly.
It's just something we want to remind
you. I mean, if you don't want your head being bashed, then just don't take out the camera.
Yeah, those maid cafe or those maids can really kick ass.
True,
like,
true.
Mahoro Matic, yeah, you saw how Mahoro is. She'll kill you.
Yes, she
will. Anime in the Hong Kong Film Festival. Anime is that, how should I put it, explosive. In Hong Kong, they have a bunch of really nice films, but it seems anime has actually hit it off. I don't know which movie has made it in or was it show, but you have anime in film festivals across the world. The Hong Kong Film Festival is one of them. Giant Gundam Lantern. Someone in Japan made a giant Gundam Lantern. I don't know how big it was. But I believe it was at a university. But they made a giant Gundam Lantern, which is pretty interesting. It's like a light thingy, right? A teaching assistant, yes. At the Department of Fine Arts at Tai... Oh, crap. It wasn't even in Japan. Sorry. In Taiwan, in Taipei National University of the Arts,
Taipei
made a giant Gundam, a Gundam RX-78. I'm not a Gundam person, but if you know the Gundam RX-78, made a lantern for the annual Taipei Lantern Festival.
That looks like this. That sounds like the. I'm not gonna try that, yo.
It's a 7.5 meter tall Gundam, so it's a lantern like thingy that's 7.5 meters tall. Actually, it's not on display anymore. It actually got taken off display 2 days ago from our point of view. But you can still see photos. Photos are still online. I saw it. It looked pretty interesting. It took two and a half months to make. And a lot of people put a lot of effort into it. So it's pretty cool. Bleach in Latin America. Those in Latin America, South America, you guys now have Bleach. You don't have to download fan subs. Well, you still can if you want. But you now have the, I doubt it's an English dub, most likely. What? Actually, it might be an English dub.
Oh, it's English dub.
Are you sure it's an English? It's in Latin America, so
they still speak English in Latin America.
They might do a What, a Spanish dub? I don't know.
It costs moolah, man. I mean, come on.
No, it's...
how much money can
it's
Bleach...
It's Viz Media again, obviously. So, like, they're engrossing a cable to do Bleach. I guess it's a U.S. version. Most likely, yeah, it's going to be a U.S. version.
There you go.
So you guys are going to get the U.S. Bleach. Or, yeah, get the U.S. Bleach, so wait for that. It's coming. It's still in negotiations, so... But it's coming, so just wait patiently for that.
Is that about
Sven,
it?
Sven, you want to talk about the back marathon?
Oh,
you
yeah.
You probably know more about that than me.
Much music, North American people. Yeah, it's going to be... There's a back marathon. It's going on, like, craziness. Man, I'm tired today. Fuck.
You're tired?
I don't know.
Get a coffee.
It's that stupid game.
Yeah, but,
Yeah, so Beck, right? Friday was the premiere. They showed the first two episodes of Beck. Everyone went crazy about it. I saw it. I'll say this much, since I've seen the original Japanese, and I like the Japanese, and because I like music and whatnot, it's not bad. It's not
great.
Well,
considering the time they spent on the Beck,
years?
Like,
years?
A year or so,
it
right?
was about a year and a half.
A year or so. Because Beck was licensed...
by Funimation.
2 years ago.
By Funimation a while ago.
Was it Funimation? Oh, yeah. Wow. It's Funimation, and now they're broadcasting on Much Music for some odd reason.
Well, I'm thinking...
Only the first five episodes.
Yeah,
it's kind of like a pilot thing.
I'm thinking Much Music has the rights to the first five episodes, and they're just showing
and
that
just,
over and over and
the,
over
The
again.
Beck Marathon is just the first five episodes over and over and over again. But they were good episodes. I've watched most of Beck. I don't believe I finished it, but I've watched most of it. It's a good series. I'm actually interested in seeing the English dub,
you know,
though I missed it.
What I find hilarious was, if you guys have seen the Japanese one, you know that there's a lot of English-Japanese conversations that happen in the
Japanese
one.
There's a lot of English and Japanese swearing going on, too.
True.
Which is,
so, like, in the English dub, they basically replaced all that with, like, misunderstanding and whatnot. I mean, if you've seen the first episode, you see that big fight between that American dumbass who calls... Between the American dumbass and this, Our lead character,
he gets his friend to help him in the end.
Well, I mean,
he?
the lead character comes up and calls him a baka, right?
baka,
which means stupid, and like
or
this
idiot,
right?
Yeah,
so like the English dude, right? He
so
mouths
what?
The words, he mouths the words, and like in the English dub, he's mouthing the words dumb ass instead of baka,
dumb. Because, wait, do they actually understand? I missed the episode, but do they actually understand each other? Like, are they actually speaking Japanese and English?
Oh, no, the English people don't understand anything they're saying. And the Japanese people are trying to, like, tell them, you know, in the horrible English that they know that we didn't do anything, we're okay.
So while they're talking,
like that,
it's English.
Yeah.
But while they're talking to English people, they're using broken English?
Yeah. Well, hold on. Oh, I'm sorry. No. In the English dub, it's all English throughout. But in the Japanese,
yeah,
exactly Japanese.
I'm talking about English stuff. But when they talk to the American people, how does that work?
They speak English. Like,
perfect
like,
English?
Like a normal English person would speak. No
but
one has
the,
any accents.
But there's so many jokes about like how the American people are like saying, oh, you stupid Japanese person, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, well,
and
I mean,
it's like, how does that work? And then...
It's how a lot of dubs are. I mean, you just gotta take it for what it is.
No, but you have a huge barrier in Beck, because in Beck, you have American people. And you have Japanese people.
What I've yet to see is the music, or the actual Japanese music that they should
yeah.
be playing in the later episodes.
Yeah, it's going to be playing in the later episodes. That actually took them the longest, because there's so much licensed music inside Beck.
It's like, yeah, you got Beach Boys in there, you got some Beatles, you got like everything from
yeah,
anyone
everything.
There. Right?
Anyway, Beck will be playing Sunday, Wednesday, Thursday, actually, no.
Sunday, Tuesday. No, it played Friday. It played
Saturday.
It played Sunday.
Today is
Tuesday
for us. It's going to play tomorrow and Thursday and the next
next
weekend.
It should be playing today, right? It should be playing today.
No.
Oh.
It's not playing today. But
well,
it doesn't matter, because the people listening, they should really... Yeah, they're going to watch it.
Oh, yeah. You guys are going to watch that. It's greatest.
But isn't it going to like rerun? Or the marathon goes from what time to what time? Like the timings are messed
up. They show all the episodes all at once.
So it's like
five episodes, 2.5 hours.
Yeah, 2.5 hours. What are their time slots? Like 8 p.m.? Wait, tomorrow, Wednesday, right? They're showing it at, for Eastern time, obviously. You have to look for us, it's Eastern time. 1 p.m. Eastern time. They're also showing it at 8 p.m. Eastern time. And a bunch of like 1:30 p.m. Eastern time, a bunch of times. So yeah, you guys can look for that. Yes, enough about Beck, even though it's a very good series. The first Japanese voice acting awards occurred in Japan.
Hurrah, hurrah.
Hurrah, hurrah. I don't know. I thought it was like, when I first saw this, I was like, okay, about time. I thought this always existed, but the Seiyu Awards happened at the Tokyo Anime Center.
Oh, I'm sorry. My bad. I'm thinking of the North American Anime Awards.
We'll get to that after, because we did promise that we'd get the results back to you guys. We will, right after...
talk about Seiyu Awards.
After a couple things, and then we'll get to it. We'll do the Seiyu Awards first. Yeah, it was interesting. I didn't get to watch it, because there's no broadcast open to us North American people.
Because we're dumbasses who don't
want to see it, even though I don't understand Japanese to its full extent. But you have a bunch of winners. Best actor, Jun Fukuyama. He was Lelouch in Kogis. I'm actually starting to watch Kogis. It's a pretty good series.
I'm guessing he had some other roles in some other series.
Probably. I don't know most of these actors or actors and actresses, unfortunately. I know a couple. Rami Paku, best actress in a leading role, played Nana Osaki in Nana. She played Ed in Full Metal Alchemist.
Sweet.
Which is cool because she's a really good voice actor. And she can sing. Her music's blah, but she can sing as well. You have a bunch of actors and actresses from Gundam Seed Destiny. I'm not going to say their names because I'm just going to horribly destroy them. Mikuru from The Melancholy of Haruhi Suzumiya won. Her name is Yuko Goto.
Best rookie.
Kurosaki Ichigo in Bleach. He was actually a rookie actor, which is interesting. He won the best rookie actor.
He's been doing this for like about 2 years now? 3 years. 3 years, give or take, right?
I don't know. Because I haven't heard his name either. Masakazu Morita.
But I've heard of the best rookie actress,
Aya Haruno. She is a very funny person because her voice changes like really... her voice changes are crazy. Like, her singing is insane, too. I really, really like her music. And, like, when she, because there's an interview I saw, and she was being interviewed by these two guys, and they asked her to do some impressions. And she, like, did Kion, and she did, like, Mikuru. Well, her natural voice is actually perfect for Mikuru. But they got her to do, Haruhi, which is interesting. But her voice is just so high-pitched. Her voice is like a squeaky teddy bear-ish thing, which is really funny. A bunch of awards. Yeah. The Sin Energy Award goes to Pokemon. I don't know what the Sin Energy Award is. I think it's just an award just to give to Pokemon because when you have anime, you have to give an award to Pokemon. Because it's Pokemon.
Exactly. It's Pokemon.
It's Pokemon. I think a couple more news things. Please bear with me. Orin PS2 Dating Sim. I don't know if I talked about it before. I might have.
I mentioned it. But that was like a rumor.
It is confirmed that there is an Orin PS2 game. It's a dating sim, right? So I believe you'll be playing the position of Haruhi, and you had to try to win over all the guys. And I looked at some of the
screenshots,
and basically it's kind of like a heart system. Like, as you progress through the game, let's say you have Mori at 3 hearts, and you have Honey at 2 hearts, and you have like Tamaki at 5 hearts. It's kind of that system. It's kind of plain, but obviously there's going to be a bunch of twists. I'm personally not into dating sims, especially an Orin dating sim, because it's very pink. I looked at it, it's very pink, and it might be interesting to look at it for a while, but it kind of hurts my eyes after a while. But look for that if you're into the Orin. It's a PS2 dating sim, yep. You'd have to have a modded PS2 if you're in North America.
So, yeah,
sure. Or, yeah, get a Japanese PS2.
Oh, snap. I just remembered something.
Did you? Do you want to say it?
No, it's an on-campus thing. They probably won't want it. I'll tell you anyways. Yeah, the PlayStation College thing is in town for our college thing.
The what?
The one in Student Center. PlayStation's hosting this little contest for all the universities where they're...
You mean Sony?
Yeah, Sony PlayStation.
Yeah, Sony.
They have this contest where there's this game called Storm Rider or something, and person to do the fastest lap in their school wins the PSP, and then they send you off to nationals, and if you win that,
you win a PS3 and you win a year, and if you win that, and then they send you off to like Super Nationals, and if you win that, then they send you off to like, oh, they give you
really?
a year's worth of tuition.
Where's this happening? Screw this podcast. Let's go. Let's play. I didn't know about that. We'll have to check that out.
Dude, right, how did you not after. See it? It's like right by the bus stop.
I didn't see the signs.
I'm sorry. It's like, what?
We're getting distracted here. Though I would like a PSP.
I would like
see, if we win that PSP, we could put it up for a contest. See if anyone's interested for a PSP, but no one's probably not, so I'm going to get it. That was... Okay, now live-action news. I'm just going to quickly go over it. Live-action Slam Dunk is in the works. Slam Dunk is the hit basketball show slash... or anime slash manga. It's somewhat old, but I know it's very popular in China. It's one of the places that it's very popular. Here, it's... Yeah, because it's somewhat old, but it was old by the time I got here. But basically, yeah, it's a basketball anime series, plain and simple, about basketball. It actually brought a storm of Japanese
sports.
Young people to play basketball. A
Did
storm
it?
Of Taiwanese, Chinese, Malaysian, and even American people to play basketball. It had that much influence. So it got a lot of awards for like getting people to get fit instead of like, see, now you have like. Generations of anime fans who are actually go out and exercise rather than just stay at home and watch anime.
And
which is a good thing. I might check out this live action Slam Dunk. I've seen a couple of episodes of Slam Dunk. I didn't like it because
it's
basketball, anime.
I mean, it's just like, come on.
But it didn't encourage me to go out and play, so that's good. So yeah, watch for live action Slam Dunk. That might be interesting. And it's easy to do too since it's just people playing basketball. Next live action is Speed Racer. Dun, dun, dun.
Didn't I already kind of talk about that?
Did we talk about live action Speed Racer?
I talked about live action Born Identity, Indiana Jones. We mentioned
those Speed. Are movies.
Because they're all coming out. They're all being produced and they're coming out at the same
yeah.
time. Speed
okay,
Racer.
If we did talk about yeah, a Speed Racer live action, look for that. Evangelion stamps. That's a little thing, but I thought it was interesting.
Who would you want to lick from Evangelion?
That sounds disgusting. But a lot of people would, like, think about that. They're being sold at the Japanese post office, and you can actually get them internationally through J-List or J-Box, probably for inflated price, all these Japanese things. But, again, showing how Evangelion is huge, or still huge, is still huge, and, yeah, it has stamps now, more publicizing stuff. Last but not least, the American Anime Award updates, I just thought I'd go quickly through them because we said we'd say it. Best Cast, Full Metal Alchemist. Best Manga, Fruits Basket. Best Male Actor in a Comedy, Dave Wittenberg in Zatch Bell. Best Actress in a Comedy, Debbie Derryberry in Zatch Bell.
Derryberry.
Best Theme Song, Rewrite by Full Metal Alchemist.
No, it's rewrite
or
by
rewrite
the,
in from Full Metal Alchemist
by Asian
Kung
Fu
Generation. Sorry.
Let's go.
Best Anime Feature, Final Fantasy VII Advent Children. Best Package Design, Full Metal Alchemist. Best Anime Comedy, Foolie Coolie.
FLCL.
Best Actor, Vic Mignogna. I'm really bad at that. From Full Metal Alchemist. That was expected. He actually cried when he went on stage, which is pretty cool.
He went up to stage thanking God.
He's like, thank God for letting me do what I want to do, kind of thing.
And the fans for voting for me, because it's just without
your basic
you.
Oscar speech.
Exactly, and it's not an Oscar, dude. Come on.
You win a Mecca. It's a Mecca. What are the awards? It's a Mecca. Best Actress, Mary Elizabeth from Ghost in the Shell Standalone Complex Second Gate. She played the main role. She did pretty well, from what I've seen. Best Anime Short Series, Foolie Coolie. Best Anime Long Series, Full Metal Alchemist. In the end, all in all, Full Metal Alchemist was the big winners of the night. And Lifetime Achievement Award, you can't forget. Peter Fernandez.
He did Astro Boy.
He also did
Speed Racer. He was
Speed
Racer X.
He's like...
He was Racer X.
Is he like 80 now? He's like pretty old.
He's coming to North, so...
He's coming to Anime North, so we get to meet this... acclaimed first generation voice actor, so that's cool. Anywho, we'll get into a review since we've been going on and
just really quickly, Gundam Seed Destiny started last Friday or March the 9th for us Canadians watching YTV.
It's okay. Dub kind of sucks, but whatever. It's Full Metal. It's Gundam Seed Destiny. Whatever.
Okay.
There was something else. Oh, North Counter. 72 days.
72 days
to North. There's also a con happening this Saturday called Toronto Anime Con.
Yes, there's a Toronto Anime Con this Saturday, which it's neglected to mention because we didn't even know about it until lately.
It's a free con. It's going to be Chris Sabat, Lauren Bailey, Colleen Klickenberg, a lot of other good people there.
It's that for such a small con, they actually do pretty well. And it's free. So to those in the Toronto downtown or Toronto area, downtown area.
Or you could fly in.
Or you could fly in. It's your choice.
I know people from Alaska would like to come see this.
Do you really?
No.
But that might be interesting, so come check it out. True.
Alright, people, we're going to take a little break. I'm going to play some music for you guys. Hope you like. And we'll be back.
Take a little breather.
Yeah, we'll take a little breather. We'll be back with some we'll be back with the reviews. So reviews, I'm doing Black Donnelly's, and Daisuke here is doing...
Man to Be Straight, Gekkun Utopia.
Alright, which one's going to take longer and which one's going to take less time? Because,
I can do mine pretty fast if you want, but it would not do it justice.
Exactly, so I'll do mine fast and there's only been three episodes. I've seen three episodes so far.
Okay.
The Black Donnelly's hit TV show on the great...
I wouldn't call it a hit.
Oh, it's getting there, dude. It's getting there.
So much publicity. Every single commercial break, you have the Black Donnellys.
That's because it's just so awesome. All right.
You're actually skeptical about watching it.
I really was skeptical because it's kind of a mafia movie. It's kind of a mafia movie, and like I really didn't want to get into it, but I gotta tell you, it impressed me when I saw the first episode.
Okay.
The only thing that annoys me is the way the story is told. I mean, you haven't seen an episode yet, Daisuke, but at the beginning of every episode
we get into an introduction.
Oh, really quickly, its creator is Paul Haggis. In case you guys don't know, he is the writer of the Oscar-winning screenplay that is Crash.
So he's also a Scientologist.
And he's from Toronto, or Ontario, London, Ontario. So he's a 54-year-old Scientologist.
Let's not get into that.
So he did Crash, which is awesome. And Robert something or another, who also did Fridge. He helped do
Crash.
Yeah.
Producer Crash.
So basic storyline. All right, the show follows a young Irish-American family in New York. When I first saw the trailer for this, I thought it was Boston. Because Irish-Americans, Boston. That's just Irish-Americans, Boston. Or
it could still be New York. No, still picture it.
If you guys remember Gangs of the War. Or
Gangs of New York.
Gangs of New York. Leonardo DiCaprio.
Scottish, I think?
No, they were Irish. Oh, they were Irish.
Well, then they were in New York, though.
Exactly. So, like, I mean, okay. There's Irish everywhere, but there's, like, a high population of Irish people in both New York and...
Boston.
Mm-hmm. So anyways, the show follows four Irish-American brothers in New York who live in the infamous Hell's Kitchen neighborhood. I personally, not being from New York, have no idea what the fuck Hell's Kitchen is, so I'm sorry, you know.
Well, you can tell of its generality from the name.
I'm guessing.
It must not be too pleasant of a neighborhood.
But that's where Daredevil lived, Matt Murdock. And he's a lawyer.
But he's Daredevil, which is not real.
True. So anyways, and they're involved with organized crime. So basically, the Irish mob and shit like that, right? Although the show is set in present day, it draws up heavy Irish-American history and iconic themes. So we got a lot of Irish-American stuff going on. The show is basically being narrated by this
a childhood friend of the four brothers, because the show's all about these four brothers, right? And it's being narrated by a childhood friend who's in prison, this dude named Joey Ice Cream. And in the first episode,
what's
so
his name?
Joey Ice Cream.
Ice
Cream's a nickname. His name's Joey, right?
Okay.
It's so funny. They tell you why he's called Ice Cream. He tries to explain himself why he's called Ice Cream, and it's pretty hilarious. He goes, "You know why they call me Joey Ice Cream? Because when I'm under pressure, I'm like ice." Apparently, when he
he melts.
When he was a child, they were stealing some
ice cream.
Yeah, ice cream, and he wouldn't let go, so he was like ice, kind of thing, right? So that's why he got his nickname.
Right.
He's in prison right now. And he's telling this story to like anyone. And everyone, like,
anyone.
It starts off with him telling it to the FBI, then he starts telling it to his lawyer, then the guard, then, like, so forth and so forth. But he's telling the story in a linear way, which is cool.
Wait, is it based on a true story?
No.
Or, okay.
These guys are fiction writers, but, like, it has some
Canadian value story-ness into it.
More like Irish value-ness. It has some...
Or, yeah. Why am I saying Canadian?
Because the creator is Canadian, right?
Yeah,
so, I mean...
Yeah.
Alright, so, so basically, we start off with I'll introduce the characters. You got five main characters. You got Tommy Donnelly, Jimmy Donnelly, Kevin Donnelly, and Sean Donnelly. I already mentioned Joey Ice Cream, and the other main character who's semi-main, she's actually not in as many episodes after, like, a while, is Jenny Riley. Right, who is played by Olivia Wilde, who is the girl who played the girlfriend of Marissa in the OC. If you guys watch the OC, you know that. The girlfriend, right? Alex, I think that's her name was. Tommy Donnelly, he's the middle child, or out of four brothers, I'm thinking he's the second oldest, I think. Yeah, he's the second oldest. He's third.
Well, their ages, we're not going to be arguing
about
their ages.
Because they never really tell you who's... Well, they tell you
who's
the
what age and...
Well, you know the two of them. You know that Jimmy's the oldest and Sean's the youngest.
Yeah.
And then you know that Kevin and Tommy are like...
The middle children. Middle children don't really matter.
Pretty speaking, so you got Tommy. He's kind of the middle child. He's like a good kid. Or he wised up after... Basically, when he was little, he made a mistake. Huge mistake. And he flew... Straightened up and flied right for the rest of his life. He's an artist. He goes to school or goes to art college, and like he's heading down a straight path.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy is the eldest. He's a troublemaking drug user idiot who is involved with crime and all that other bullshit.
Well, he has to take care of his brothers.
Jimmy only thinks of himself.
Oh,
I
he
mean,
sucks at an eldest brother. Then.
He does. But basically, the whole he has a lot of hate because back when he was little, his father was killed. Well, more like beaten to death, but still.
Okay.
His father was killed, and it was Jimmy's fault. Basically, Jimmy was in the car listening to music. Some gangsters came up and said, "Hey, Jimmy, where's your dad?" And he told them his dad was in the coffee shop, and they went in there and beat him to death.
Oh, that sucks.
So Jimmy took it upon himself to feel guilty, shame for that, and kind of went evil. Tommy Donnelly, no, it's not Tommy, Kevin Donnelly, he's the gambler of the family, and he sucks at gambling. He always has a large debt of money owed somewhere, so he's a bad gambler. You got Sean Donnelly, who is the youngest of the brothers, and he's the most popular of the women. So, he's the baby of the family, and he's, like, really, really great with women. He kind of has an appearance in the first episode. You don't see him in episode 2 or episode 3, only because some major event happens, and you really don't see him. He's not dead, because they can't kill him off, right? He's one of the brothers.
Well, there's only been so many episodes out.
There's only been 3 episodes released so far, so that's so far. Yeah, like I said, the plot itself is like...
It's a story of the Donnelly family or how they get through their life.
In
the underground sort of thing, right?
Watch the first... People, if you got a chance, watch the first episode. That explains or that leads up everything. You can't watch episode 2 and expect to know everything. You can't watch episode 3 and expect to know everything. You have to watch episode 1. Or you can watch the beginning intro, because each episode has kind of an intro. And the intros are pretty nice, because it's just Joey saying, you don't know who the Donnelly brothers are? Well, let's see, you got yourself Tommy, Kevin, Jimmy, and Sean, right? And Jenny Riley.
It's told by Joey about the four brothers.
Yeah, it's like kind of an, it's a futuristic past narrative. Like, he's in the future, like, it's set in present day, but it's not. Because Joey's in jail, I'm guessing now, and like he's talking about the past.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing it's eventually going to lead up to how Joey got into jail and all that shit.
That makes sense.
So I mean, all in all, it's a good series. I am hoping it gets better. I mean, right now it's okay. It has a solid storyline, and like we'll see how that storyline plays out. I mean, I hope NBC's not going to be dumbasses and try to get this thing and try to milk this thing for all it's worth. Because if they do that, I swear it's not going to go well. So that's why right now I'm going to give it a steal from a friend.
Steal from a friend?
Yeah.
Okay, that's a good solid rating.
Solid
rating. I guess it's on to me now, I guess.
Oh yeah, Daisuke and his Manabe Strait, or
Kun Utopia Manabe Strait.
It's a utopia, huh?
Yeah.
Oh
it's
yeah.
It's like
all
a
right,
utopian
right.
school thing.
I have this little thing for you guys, alright? Question. Can art exist in a utopia? Or let me rephrase that. Can true art exist within a utopian nation?
Where did that question come from?
I know, isn't that awesome? Cause you know, in a utopian everything's perfect. And how can art exist in a perfect world? Because art is always scrutinized and always raw and new and something, right? Yeah, I know. It blows your mind, doesn't it?
Well, if you have the whole world with only one artist and everyone liking that one artist.
Well, in a utopia, you like everything and everything's liked.
Yeah.
So, like, art's always liked. So you can do nothing and it'll be liked. You can do anything and it'll be liked.
Yeah.
So no matter what you do, it'll be liked. I mean, like...
That argument can be put up to anything.
True, true, true. All right, so let's get into Manabe Strait.
Manabe Strait. It's about this girl named Manami Amamiya. Though I do like her slogan, like that she says. Well, she doesn't say constantly, which is good.
But she says it enough time to be annoying.
She says, like, Masago go, or forward go, or go straight ahead. It's, like, her motto in life, to keep on going.
Which is kind of cool and all, but, I mean, it's, like,
yeah. I'll give a premise
it's
of
like,
it.
It's like the little train that could. I think I can.
Right.
I think I can. I think
it's
I
a
can,
high school girl.
I think I can. I think I can. I think
shut
I can.
Up. It's a high school girl... drama-ish thing, or not drama, I can't say drama, anime, high school girl anime. It's set in the future, and the twist is you have all these chibi characters who are high school girls. They're chibi. Like, that's the main thing that caught my eye when I saw it. It's like, holy crap, they're chibi, like little chibi high school girls.
But they're in high school.
But I'm not a pedophile, so don't look at me that way. It's a manga that was serialized in Dengeki Daio, and the anime series was first broadcast in January by TV Tokyo. It's set for 12 episodes. I think that's about fair considering its plot is not strong. It's basically about Manabe, or her name is Manami, but she tells people to call her Manabe. From what I got, Manabe means to learn or learning, and she's like always learning. So she's like, call me Manabe. The year is set in 2035, futuristic again, and what's happening in the world, you have declining birth rates. No one is having kids because it's the future.
That is so stupid.
And it takes place in a...
You should fix that. It should be no one in Japan is having children because Japanese don't like having children.
Well, they don't actually say it's in Japan.
Oh.
Or you can tell it's probably in Japan, but... they don't actually say it's in Japan. So, well, they go to Seiyo Private High School, which is a all-girls high school. So Manabe, she transfers there. For some odd reason, she transferred there.
Crazy.
And
ass
on the first
student.
Day she transfers there, there's the whole, assembly. When you just start school, there's the opening day assemblies, right? So she walks in there, and the last remaining member of the student council says, yeah, well, all our student council members graduated and we need a new student council or else the student council fails. Manabe goes up and says, I'll be student council president. And then it's like, everyone's like, what the hell, who is she? And the principal is like, oh yeah, she's the new exchange student. Transfer student. Because since the school's small and it's I said before, there's a declining birth rate, so the school's population is what, like 50, 60? And like the school's like being threatened to close down because it has such a small population, right? So they need to make the school better because there's a bunch of schools in the area that have much more better faculty, much more better resources, much better school. And it's up to Manabee to kind of make the school all nice and good compared to the other schools. So nice, it's about her endeavors. She's able to recruit more people into the student council. And you get in-depth looks at all these characters. Manabee, Mei, I'm going to say all their nicknames. Muchi and Mikan. I'm saying all their nicknames because that's the way they call them. But just endeavors of these girls and their student councilness. At this point, it has potential. I don't know where it could go from here, but it's an interesting series. I don't like the way they put fan service in like random places, since they are chibi characters. They're in high school, but they look like they're, what, 2? So it's funny, but interesting. Captivating. It's almost over, actually. The 11th episode was released, since it's late for 12 episodes. I've only seen up to 6. So I can only say what I've seen up to 6. Right now, I'd have to give it a steal it from a friend. It has potential. I don't know where it'll go from there, but I don't know. Manabee is just a lovable character. A lot of these are lovable characters. And
you have to be into the whole
chibi characterness.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, if you're not into the whole chibi characterness with there's no fighting. The animation is interesting. The ending sequence is interesting. Opening theme is bland. It's blah. Ending theme is in clay, which I like. Because you have all these characters in clay and they're moving around. It's kind of cool. It's a standard series, but not so standard. So it's a bit of an odd series. So I'll have to give it a steal from a friend as well.
Great. Awesome. Amazing. So, steal from a friend across the board. That's our show, folks. I'm guessing...
One last note I want to make. To those who are going to Anime North...
Pre-registration
ends this week if you want the cheaper pre-registration. Pre-registration doesn't actually end until April.
But, like, you save $10.
Yeah, you save $10 if you pre-register by this week. If you pre-register after, it's the same price. You just get to pre-register early.
Exactly.
But,
$10.
Save $10. Or, if you want to save $10, pre-register this week. Go to www.
Or, if you want to save $15, pre-register with a group.
Yeah, with a group.
But go to www.animenorth.com.
All the info is there. Updates, guests, all that stuff is there.
Yeah, we're getting Wendy Lee now. That's pretty cool. So we basically have the whole cast minus Crispin Freeman of...
Bleach.
No,
right?
No, the that thing. Haruhi Suzumiya, I think.
Oh,
that,
right,
that
yeah.
Thing.
We have quite a few.
Minus Crispin Freeman.
Yeah. But we have a lot of Bleach people, so... Bounces out.
True. Hold on. Does Crispin Freeman do the voice of Keon, or who does the voice of Keon?
Keon? It might be Crispin Freeman. I can't remember.
Because I know that it's Crispin Freeman and John Yambash being the two lead male.
John Yambash is being Itsuki, yeah. So.
Alright, so then yeah, it's Itsuki. Yeah.
We'll look into that.
Also, if you guys want to check out some cool things, goanimetv.com. It's this cool anime podcast.
It's a video podcast.
So that's why it's cool. It's hosted by John Young Bosch, so it's also
which
cool.
Is not cool.
Which is not cool. We hate you, Johnny. Nah, we're kidding.
No,
Johnny.
But it's an interesting podcast. We're doing publicity for a lot of podcasts.
Yeah.
Just, I don't know. So you guys can get a flavor of like all the range of podcasts out there. Yes, it's a big podcasting world.
If you guys want to listen to some other TV podcasts, check out Watch It Podcast. You can go to the website, watchit.libsyn.com. That's Libsyn, that's LIBSYN.com.
And Go Anime TV,
GoAnimeTV.com,
right?
Share that there. Or iTunes, you know, iTunes, all this stuff.
iTunes, YouTube, you can find anything anywhere.
Exactly,
now.
True. Or Google.
Google, yeah, good old-fashioned Google.
Yeah, for Go Anime TV, they're reviewing Naruto this week. They did Champloo last week.
They're doing Naruto this week?
Yeah, that's
good. I gotta
that's
watch that, see how much they scrutinize that.
You know what? They probably don't watch the subs. They probably just watch the dubs.
That would be funny. Anyway.
All right, so that's our show for y'all this week.
Hopefully,
we'll be back next week. I know it's been, 2 weeks now?
And it's actually March break for us, to all those younger people.
But us,
happy March break.
Us university
is it also
folks,
is it also spring break in the U.S.?
Probably. Who knows?
Who knows? But yeah, happy March break. Happy... Yeah, hope to see people at...
Toronto
Akon this weekend.
Akon? Toronto Anime Con.
I call it Acon.
But there is an actual Acon in Dallas.
Toronto Acon.
Okay, alright. So yeah, hopefully you guys, you know, if we see you, you know, we'll give a
yes,
shout out.
Yes, we'll be you'll be able to identify us for some odd reason.
True. And if you are able to identify us, we'll give you $5. Actually, no, we won't give you $5. We'll give you something.
We'll be carrying goods on us.
Exactly. Alright, people. That's I'm Spencer Walker.
Daisuke.
And we're signing off.